Hiya. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning to everyone out there on Zoom. I probably should turn this on before I start speaking. Is that better? Yeah? Right across. Ah, yeah. Got it.
Okay. Is that all right, Ian? Yeah. Okay, well, that was terrific. Follow that if you can. I can't. however, I did think of another one. Nail ashore. Jesus died and rose in person. How about that? Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a living Saviour. God's not dead. He is alive. Remember that song? That's a great one, isn't it? Yeah. So we're going to go. I'm just going to read a little bit from Luke chapter 1. We're going to go to Luke, the good doctor, whose prescription is great for sick souls and great for anywhere where we are in life. And you might be very young, you might be very old, you might be somewhere in between. But what Dr. Luke prescribes is great for all of us. And, so, thank you, Paul, for referring to what he says at the beginning. These things are written, that you may be sure that what you believe is right. The New Testament was written for believers, but it also convicts unbelievers. And we had a Thai Christmas in here last Monday, which is fantastic. Not many ties, but it was a fantastic time. In a village where we lived, a Thai teacher married an Englishman, and we gave her a Thai New Testament as a wedding present, and she read it, and she believed in Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God is powerful in all its effects. I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming into this world to save us. Thank you for being the God who loves us. Thank you that you were willing to come from all the glory of heaven for us, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here this morning with all of our hearts, Lord. And pray, Lord, as we look into your eternal word, that you will speak again as you have already spoken to us by your Holy Spirit this morning. We ask in your precious name. Amen. So, I'm just going to read Luke chapter 1 and remember the time when there was a young woman. She was going about her business at home in a small dump of a town called Nazareth where nothing ever good ever happened, nothing ever exciting ever happened. And suddenly an angel appeared to her. And his name was Gabriel. Now, the last time we saw Gabriel was about 580 years before, when he appeared to the prophet Daniel. And we'll hear more about that in a little while. So, the word of God is true. And this really happened to a young woman. She was engaged to be married. She wasn't yet living with her husband, but they were as married in God's sight as they could be. And the angel had a special message for her. And this is in Luke chapter 1. He came in. Don't know whether he knocked at the door, but anyway, he came in. And he said, Gaudete. That's for you, Conrad. Okay, rejoice. Highly favored one, highly favored, highly graced one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, every Jewish woman since the time of Abraham had wanted to bring forth the promised seed. And Galatians tells us that the seed was Christ. Every Jewish woman wanted to bring forth the promised seed. She didn't know the name of that promised seed like other Jewish women. But anyway, here was a woman who God chose to bring forth the promised seed. And the angel came in, and when she saw him, she was troubled about the greeting. Well, yeah, wow. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This is the great thing about God. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of in God. I think that's fantastic. Don't be afraid. "But behold, you'll conceive in your womb by a spiritual miracle, when the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary continued the conversation on a particular subject, and the Lord explained to her this was going to be a spiritual miracle that would happen in her human body, and she would conceive and bring forth a son. And the last word that the angel said was, "For God, with God, nothing will be impossible." That's the God we love and serve. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, he loves you, he cares for you. If you don't know him, he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants you to know him. That's the reason he came into the world. Okay, so we're going to have some slides, and if you kindly put the slides up, start the... thank you. "He shall be great." Okay, that's slide number one. Slide number two, please. Oh, the clicker. The clicker. Sorry. Forgot my instructions, didn't I? Okay. Okay, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why Jesus? Well, Matthew has the record of Joseph, who was Mary's fiancé, being told that she was with child by a spiritual miracle. And the message in the dream to Joseph was, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Hallelujah. He will save his people. You should call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Comes from the Old Testament word Yehoshua, which means God is my salvation. And then that was shortened to Yeshua, and Yeshua becomes Jesus. Salvation came in the person of Jesus Christ into this world from outside, from heaven above, to save you and me from our sins. Hallelujah. Salvation was the gift all wrapped up in a person, and his name is Jesus. And he saves people from one end of the world to the other, day by day. Today is the day of salvation. We only have today. God might say stop at the end of today, or somewhere in the middle. But we only have today, and today is the day of salvation. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you can receive him today, because he's right here among us. Praise his wonderful name. He's never gone away, and he never will. And when we come to him, we are absolutely safe. I'll tell you a story, okay? The story is, I'll try to keep this brief. But, okay, you don't have to believe me, but believe what I tell you. Anybody know where that is? Anybody know where that is? Close to Thailand, still, good. Cambodia, yeah. It's a big river. Anybody know the name of a big river in Cambodia? Mekong, yes, that's right. Okay, so this is a story about the Mekong and about Jesus who saves people. There's a lady we know in Cambodia, her name is Santania, and whenever we go for a visit, we come back with a load of dried, pressed, sweetened, absolutely fabulously delicious Cambodian mango. Okay, the boys love it. Lovely, it is lovely. Okay, she's a cook. Okay, she works at the YWAM office. And anyway, Santania told me her story one day. She was in a canoe on the Mekong, as many people are. And she was traveling in a canoe. It's a sort of small motorized canoe. You sit one behind the other. And they were traveling from somewhere to somewhere, not too far away. But the canoe capsized in a sudden squall. and everybody was thrown into the water. Now, the Mekong in Cambodia, that's in the rainy season. That place, you can still see the opposite bank, but there's lots of the Mekong in that area where you cannot see the opposite bank. We've been on it, and you just think you're on a sea. The river is so big. And the river, she was thrown into the river along with some other people, and she couldn't swim, didn't know what to do. So what did she do? She called on the name of Jesus. She'd only heard the name of Jesus a week before. She didn't know him, but she called on the name of Jesus, and she heard a voice speaking to her. And Jesus said to her, just relax, float, and move your hands gently, like this. You couldn't see the opposite, you couldn't see a bank anywhere. But she heard the Lord speak, and she did what the Lord said. And after a few hours, she found herself at the bank of the river Mekong. And she was able to get out. And she believed in Jesus, and she loves Jesus today. You're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He comes to rescue us. He's our rescuer. He saves lives at sea. Better than, even, well, the RNLI, they're fabulous. Jesus can rescue you in any situation that you're in. Always remember that. You call, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Paul wrote, shall be saved or safe. Okay, when we come to Jesus, we're in God's wonderfully safe place. His name is Savior. That should do something. Please do something. Ah. Okay, also, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. I read this for the sake of those of you at the back, might be a bit faint. Isaiah the prophet said 750 years before Christ was born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, his name is wonderful. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a man called Jacob, and we've heard this in this announcement to Mary, that this coming Messiah, this coming Son of the Highest, this coming Son of David, would reign over the house of Jacob. Now, this man Jacob is a really difficult man. I know Jacob well. Okay, I know Jacob well. He lives inside me. He was a really difficult man. Because he was the son of Adam. And Adam's sons are all difficult men. All difficult people. Because of the heredity, the spiritual heredity that we received from our forefather Adam, who flagrantly disobeyed God and took of the fruit that God had forbidden and suffered the consequences, and also all of Adam's descendants, the human race, the whole human race, is wrapped in the spiritual heredity of Adam. And hallelujah, he was the first Adam. And then came a second Adam, the second man, came from heaven, the Lord from heaven. And his name is Jesus. And he came to break that heredity of Adam out of our lives and plant in us a new heredity called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Yeah. Glory to God! Sorry, getting excited here. Glory to God, the Holy Spirit. God wants to give us the Holy Spirit so that our lives are under the reign of Jesus Christ from day to day, from morning till night. And when we're asleep at night, Jesus is watching over us. 24/7. Hallelujah. His name shall be called Wonderful. Well, Jacob got fed up with himself in the end, and maybe you're here fed up with yourself and you want to change life. Well, he decided he would spend the night seeking God. So he spent the night seeking God, and through the hours of the night, he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with what was in him. And a man came and touched him. And he said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." And the man said, "Your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel, a prince of God. I'm changing you from a man who's a hard nut to crack to being a prince of God." That's the transformation that Jesus does. So then Jacob naturally said, "Well, tell me your name." And the man said, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Well, the reason the man said, "Why do you ask my name?" is because Jacob full well knew his name. His name was El Shaddai, the one who is all sufficient for his people. The one whose name is Yahweh, the one whose name is Yeshua, the one whose name is Jesus. And there was another man called Manoah. And Manoah was in the field with his wife, and they had no children, and they wanted children, and he prayed. And anyway, this angel appeared to him and said, "Your prayers have been heard, you'll have a child." His name was Samson. And Manoah said, "But tell us your name." And the angel said, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful," or secret, mysterious. And this is the wonder of knowing Jesus, that when Jesus comes into our life, we enter into a special, personal relationship with him that goes on growing. As Paul said to us earlier, it goes on growing, goes on developing, changes from day to day, gets bigger and bigger and bigger as Jesus gets bigger and bigger in you and me. And we learn to see more of him in the world around us. We learn to see more of him in the things that happen. His name is wonderful. His name is Healer. Hallelujah. Do you want healing from Jesus today? Jesus has healing for you today. You know, there was a moment in, you read it in Luke, and it's in chapter 5, and Jesus was in a place in a house, and they took the roof off. Well, this man's friends took the roof off because there was no way in through the door. Can you imagine that, taking the roof off your house? Imagine that, Matthew. Taking the roof off your house. I know your dad is tall, but I don't think he'd ever want to take the roof off. Anyway, these men, they had a friend who was so poorly, he couldn't do anything to help himself, so they took him. They said, "I know what we should do. Let's go to Jesus." They took him to Jesus, couldn't get him through the door, let him down through the roof. And when Jesus looked up with all the dust and the muck and everything falling down on his head, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And there were some religious rabbis and leaders from Jerusalem there, And they rationalize the moment. Do you ever rationalize the moment? When God speaks to you, do you rationalize the moment? When you hear Jesus speak and he says something and you rationalize yourself out of the moment. I think we all do it. But these religious leaders sadly rationalize themselves out of the healing that Jesus wanted to give them. Because it says the power of God was present to heal them. But they rationalized, and Jesus knows the hearts of everybody, so he said, "Why are you rationalizing? What's easier, just to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk?" And we know what happened. Jesus spoke the word, "Arise, take up your bed," that's a mat, sleeping mat, "and go home." And he did. He just got up, and he went home. Does Jesus do stuff like that today? Does Jesus do stuff like that today? Yes, he does. He does, because he's alive. Yeah, Jesus is alive. Anyway, I'll tell you another story. This happened last Tuesday of this week. I have a friend in Liverpool, and his name is Ali. And Ali is a taxi driver. He's actually been here to the Longcroft. Please pray for Ali, because he's got a really painful condition in his body, but he has to keep working because he needs the money. Anyway, he told us this story on Wednesday. Okay, happened on Tuesday, told us on Wednesday. He loves talking about the Lord to anybody who gets in his taxi. And he picked up this passenger who's English, but very disabled. And Ali just started chatting about Christmas and so on. "Are you looking forward to it?" And the man kind of exploded in a rant, and he said, "Oh, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God and all that stuff. If God loves people, why did he make me like this?" And Ali said, there were some other questions as well, but Ali said to him, with the wisdom that God gave him in that moment, God has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you as you are. Isn't that the wisdom of God? God has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you as you are. And the man had some other questions that normal people normally ask about stuff that's happening these days. And each time, Ali said, God gave me a simple answer for him. So anyway, they were driving along through Liverpool. The man went silent for a few minutes. And then suddenly he said, praise the Lord! Oh, I knew that would wake you up. Praise the Lord! I believe it! I believe it! Oh, God did something in his heart, didn't he? In a taxi in Liverpool last Tuesday. And a man believed in Jesus who had said he was an out-and-out atheist when he got in the taxi. Wow, what an amazing God we serve. Yeah, hallelujah, Jesus is a healer. Do you want healing from Jesus this morning? Ask him now. Ask him. Ask Jesus. He's here. I'm going to pray, just a very short prayer. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone in this room who needs your healing in body, soul, or spirit right now, please, Lord Jesus, would you impart your healing to them right now by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Jesus, his name is wonderful. And we can enter into a personal relationship with him. And that relationship will just go on growing till you're 90 years old. Bless you, Marjorie. Okay, we read in Luke, okay, Jesus is going to rule over the house of David. Now, who was David? Well, David, of course, was a shepherd boy who sang on the hills of Bethlehem as he looked after his sheep, as the other shepherds did when the Lord arrived that night. And he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a shepherd. He was chosen by God for the work God had for him to do, which was to become king of a nation. Imagine that. You're a shepherd boy, forgotten about by even by your family. Nobody's interested in you. You're in the back end of Bethlehem. You're in the hills. And then suddenly a call comes. You're wanted at home. Please, quick, run. Samuel's there. Quick, quick. Okay, the prophet's come. Quick, run home. And God, when David gets home, God speaks to Samuel and says, arise, anoint him. This is the one. This is the one. And Samuel obeys God, and the Holy Spirit comes on Daniel from about the age of 16. Around that time. Hallelujah. There is no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in our children is the same Holy Spirit who lives in their parents. Hallelujah. Okay, our understanding is different, our experience, our life experience is different, but he's the same Holy Spirit, tender, loving, kind, glorious. And David listened to God. He was a man after God's own heart. He had a shepherd heart. He was tender. He was loving. He was kind. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He had a heart to praise Jesus. Do you have a heart to praise Jesus this Christmas? Do you have a heart to thank him? Paul said, thanks be to God for his gift, too wonderful for words. That's 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God in all the celebrations of this Christmas. Let that thanksgiving ring out from our hearts. Thanks be to God for his gift, too wonderful for words. And his name is Jesus. Now the interesting thing is, why are there sheep? Why are there sheep in this world? That's an interesting question. And I want to refer to this because there are things that are thrown at us, and particularly you young people, thrown at you in your school and colleges and so on, that are based in atheism and on the grounds of false science, not true science. God is a scientist. He created everything scientifically, an ordered world. Everything's in order. The Pleiades hang together by gravitation, and nobody has yet discovered how that happens. Job said, think about that. Anyway, why are there sheep? Well, there was a girl in Eastern Europe, and she was at school, and they had a speaker from the cadre from the Communist Party who came in to teach the children about atheism. And it wasn't to teach them about, it was to, yeah, coerce them into being atheists. And he knew there was a Christian girl in the room, and he wanted to mock her faith, and that may happen to you at school. And he said, so he spoke for 45 minutes on atheism. And he said to her, you can have 5 minutes. So she stood up and she said, please, sir. She was very polite. She said, please, sir, can you tell me why are there sheep? He said, what do you mean, why are there sheep? She said, well, in their country they had wolves, as they do in Central Europe. She said, wolves abhor, when a wolf has a litter, average is 4 to 6 cubs, between 4 and 6, but they can have up to 10. So you have a litter of wolves increasing in size. The pack is increasing in size exponentially. She didn't use that word, of course. But she said, okay, whereas a sheep, it only has one lamb, or at the most two. So why haven't the wolves wiped out all the sheep? And the atheist had no answer for her. Interesting, isn't it? It's better to believe. It's better to believe. The truth of God. The truth of God lasts forever. The word of God lasts forever. Why are there sheep? Okay, so Jesus. Jesus, his name is wonderful. He's a wonderful creator. He made all the beautiful things around us. His name is also powerful. Anybody know where that comes from? I wish it had been 10 times louder. I wanted to wake you up with that one as well. Anyway, hallelujah. His name is the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. Okay, Jesus here. He is of the house of David. And David, of David's line. He was the one who brought David into being in the first place. But he was also born through the line of David. And he came into this world as Savior. Came as a mighty warrior to save us from our sins. And he fought the battle on Calvary. And he won the battle there. And he rose again from the dead, and he is ruling and reigning in heaven on high. Okay, young people, here's a question. What is the third most common word in the world? Any young person can answer? No adult, thank you. Any young person can answer? Third most common word in the world? Joel? No, it's a thing. It's something you drink. Something you drink, something you boys like. Ben? Coke. Black. The black stuff. Okay, I heard it over here. Coca-Cola, yes. Coca-Cola is the third most common word in the world. What's the second most common word in the world? Begins with H and it's something that flies. Somebody over there? Helicopter? Yes, helicopter. Second most common word in the world. Would you believe that? Okay, what is the first most common word in the world? Not Jesus, actually, but it's about Jesus. We had it in Marjorie's prayer right at the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The most common word in the world. How about that? Jesus rules the world. Jesus is creator of the world, and he is the ruler of the world to all eternity. In the book of Revelation, I'll read this one. One of the elders said to me, don't weep. John was crying because nobody could understand what was going to happen. And then he said, behold, that means look, The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And in the next verse it says, and then I saw a lamb as if it had been slain. So we knew that what John saw there in heaven, when a door was opened in heaven, he saw Jesus ruling from the throne of God in heaven. And that's where he rules right now. And the Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus is in control of world events. He is the one who will have the last word. He is the one who will who controls things from day to day in your life and mine. Do you know that? Do you know that he's in control? Or are you worried about the future? Don't worry about the future. Jesus is already there. He's already ahead of us. There is nowhere we can go. There is no situation we can be in where we are outside of his care, where we are outside of his control. Blessed be his glorious name. If you have financial difficulties, Jesus is able to help you. As we look to him in faith, today is the day to have faith. Today is the day to look to him. Today is the day to seek him. Today is the day to trust in him, because he's a living Savior. And Jesus came in the world to save us. His name is wonderful. Is that name wonderful to you this morning? If not, you can come to Jesus and put your trust in him, and you'll find he's better than your wildest dreams. With God, the great adventure begins when you commit your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. I've said it before. I came from a council house in Burton-on-Trent, in the dump of a place, the beer town of the country. And God came to me when I was in that council house, and I was a home bird. I lived there till I was 18, and then I went to uni and stuff. I tell you, I've seen Niagara Falls. We've seen the Taj Mahal. We've flown over Everest. All because of Jesus. We've lived by the River Mekong. All because of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no young person, I want to say this to you today, there's no telling what God's got in store for you if you'll just commit your life to Jesus, and you'll never regret it. Hallelujah. And let your testimony be clear. I love Jesus and I'm following him. What made disciples throw away their livelihood and get up and say, I'm following Jesus. I'm following you, Lord. I'm leaving the boats behind. I'm leaving the fishing. I'm coming after you. I'm going after you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There must have been something in him that so attracted their hearts and their minds and their lives. They wanted to be with him for the whole shebang, for the whole way, the whole journey, going the whole journey with Jesus. Is that your heart this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus puts that heart in you and me when we commit our lives to him. Thanks be to God for his gift, too wonderful for words. Amen.